How's it going, people? Welcome back to another episode of the Here's the Crack podcast. We are back again with a solo episode. Yay! How have you found recording the solo episodes with our little segments?
Good. Didn't have much of a choice, like.
Didn't have much of an opinion either.
Here we go.
Strange and startling. Does any of yous want to kickstart? What have you found this week? Anything strange and startling, lads?
I'll go.
Oh, Nolan. Taking control.
Nolan's in the news again.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. So this is today, 2 hours ago, fresh. So depending on when this podcast goes out. So basically, the headline is Stephen Nolan accused of corrupting BBC job interview by DUP MP.
Right.
Oh, who da?
So Gregory Campbell has made the claim.
Okay.
Basically, he's being accused of giving someone interview questions for the interview.
Right.
So I think like corrupting's a bit extreme, but like he's basically came out and made like saying it's unfair and he's rigged it and all, and he basically said because the unsuccessful applicants didn't lose out necessarily because they were unprepared for the interview process, they lost because unlike the winning candidate, the presenter did not ring them up and give them the interview questions in advance.
Nor were
they treated to a nice meal by the presenter before the interview.
So was this a job interview?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, for right. The BBC. I thought you meant like an interview as in like a, you know.
No, for the BBC, like for a job. Like.
That's weird.
So I thought it was interesting because like, I feel like if you wasn't a big name, like, realistically, if you knew someone and they were interviewing for a role and they were your mate, like, you'd get help them out with the interview.
Yeah.
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 Is it that bad, is my question. In my opinion, it's been a bit blown out of proportion.
Like. Is it the position of power that he holds that makes it,
sounding familiar to a certain
Yeah,
someone?
We keep going back to Mr. Doberty.
Let's not.
I don't know. We must like know him or in some way if he was helping him out. Like.
So if one of you was getting a job at my place, I feel a bit loud.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
If I was, or if one of you was going for a job interview at my place and I knew the interview questions, like, I'd give you some. Like,
yeah.
You know.
You'd be a mate, like.
Absolutely. I'd be such a dick if I didn't.
Yeah. I'd probably do the same, to be fair. But like, how different would the interview questions be? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't Nolan interviewing them.
No, but like he must have got the questions or knew you or somewhere.
Probably
like.
Put a good word in.
You still need your personality to shine through, like.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, they can answer the questions how they might think they want to hear them. They're not telling them what they want to hear.
You'd be a bit raging if you were the guy who got the job, because like, as much as, like, fair enough, if you got the interview questions, like, you still have to prepare. You still have to show up and do a good job.
Yeah. You wouldn't feel like you've earned it in a way.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Did it
name
the guy? Or?
No.
And is he getting the job? Is he?
They must have got the job. Like, if it's made the news, I think it might have been a couple of years ago.
I feel like it wouldn't have been as big of a deal if it wasn't for the fact that it was him. Like, it wouldn't have held the same gravitas.
That's what I'm saying. Like. Mm.
If I didn't know him, would care.
Yeah.
You know. Like, is it weird that he went for dinner and all with him and all, and it was all very cushy?
That's a bit sus, but like, at the end of the day, if you were interviewing for like a role in the company that I worked for and I went, oh, here, just let you make you aware, like, a couple of things that come up in the interview questions for me interviewed in a similar role was like, tell me about your experience, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
It would just be casual, like. But I think that's accusation.
How does Gregory Campbell know?
I don't know. It says his allegations appear to refer to a BBC recruitment process in 2016.
Oh, it's way back then.
So patty as well. Like, how's that made the news? Like,
Who's this guy? Gregory Campbell,
DUP MP.
Get back and do your real job. Like,
don't get me started.
Like, actually,
too much time.
It's more the fact that that's made the news. What? BBC news.
What are
on,
they like? Doing? Like, I don't want to be political, but what the heck is going on? That is what their focus is on.
There was a big riot in the debate the other day in Lisburn, wasn't there?
Yeah.
What about?
And they're all
go back to work,
having it out about it.
Yeah, children.
You need to fucking do something about it. Yeah. But like, people do that in companies. Like, you know, if say the likes of LinkedIn, someone message you and like, oh, I'm like your CV and shit. Do you want to go for a coffee, meet up, and I'll tell you a bit about the business.
Yeah.
But like, you go for an interview after that. Like,
I like that though.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, especially the older
I think that
you
has
get,
become the norm now, though, hasn't
you
it?
You get experience as well. Like, and you've got more options open. You can actually just, it's more casual, I think. Than
and as well as that, there's nothing wrong for, like, in today's sort of times, like, you know, if you spot someone what you genuinely think has potential and a good work drive, you want to see them in the business that you're working in because they're going to take it to the new level. You know what I mean? I hope it should grow. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know. You're right.
But speaking of claims being made, I found this week.
Oh.
Woman who made fake cancer claims fined and ordered to repay the money to donors. So pretty much this girl, Madison Russo, she never had pancreatic cancer, leukemia, or a football-sized tumour wrapped around her spine, but she claimed on social media that she did and started fundraising pages.
So,
Jesus.
This woman, falsely claimed to have cancer to fundraise money, has been ordered to pay $40,000, but will stay out of prison. So she's 20 years of age, and she claimed that she had all this stuff. And started all these fundraising pages, but she basically documented her battle with cancer on social media, receiving donations from more than 400 people. She was given probation and a 10-year suspended sentence on Friday. If she stays out of trouble for 3 years of probation, she will stay out of prison. She was ordered to pay back $39,000 and also paid a fine of $1,300. This was her excuse, which I thought was quite weird, but she basically said, handing down the sentence, the judge said, through this scheme you deceived your friends, your family, your community and other cancer victims, charities and strangers who were motivated by your supposed tragic story. But she basically came out and told the court she made the story because she hoped her fake cancer battle would force her troubled family to focus on her. So a lot of people,
Jesus Christ,
have made speculation as to why she did what she did. And basically, she said, I didn't do this for money or greed. I didn't do this for attention. I did this as an attempt to get my family back together.
Is that, that's just a way of getting her sentence shortened? Like,
there's no way of like,
I fully acknowledge what I did was wrong, and I'm incredibly sorry, she said through sobbing. If there was anything I could do to take it back, I would, but the reality is I can't. So I think basically she had like family troubles.
I was starting the fucking GoFundMe page. Help the family.
But like, this is the type of thing where, like, I read it the other day and I scrolled down. I was like, this is just one of them scenarios where your back's up against the wall and you're like, but I did it to reunite my family. Please leave.
Her lawyers definitely told her to sell to try and get her short, her sentence shortened.
Yeah, but the whole thing was she had like no criminal history or whatever, so she didn't like, but like, I think that's mad.
What are people like for fame these days though?
Fame, but then also like, it also just goes to show how like, if that's one story, you imagine how many other people have maybe done that, started GoFundMe pages and stuff, and like,
get away with it. Like.
Never.
I didn't know that was illegal though.
What?
What's she done?
It's probably because she got money for it. I'd say she was like,
it's fraud.
But even if it's
fraud, yeah.
Even if it's GoFundMe, it's not like a registered charity.
You lied about it. Told me to look it up. I'll look it up.
Is it? Where was it in?
Aaron's having none of this.
America.
What was it?
But the thing is,
I'm not saying it's not. Could, I'm just, I mean, saying you, I didn't know it was.
You could start a GoFundMe and be like, here, I'm short a bob or two.
Yeah.
Donate. There'd be nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
People donate. They want to donate. It's the same thing with like, someone leaves in work. Here, we're throwing a kitty together. Do you want to do it? Mm. Yeah. No bother. It's discretionary. But on the other flip side, it's like, here, I have a terminal illness. Donate to me. You don't have a terminal illness at all. It's like, I think it's the method of how you obtain the money is.
I thought it was just one of those things that was morally wrong. Like,
yeah,
not so.
You know,
dark.
Going around collecting money for charity and keeping it.
But then it's like, oh, I did it to bring my family together. Well, love, I hate to tell you now, but any sane family would be like, you're disowned.
Dominic,
you're
gone.
Absolutely, Orange got the goods.
Yeah, so I was right. If I looked it up, and basically, if you lie and you pretend you have cancer, for example, people give you money, it's for the purposes what they think of helping you through your cancer, and if you don't have cancer, you've defrauded them, which means you can be prosecuted and made guilty of fraud.
There you go.
Oh. And if that happened in the UK, you could actually get a prison sentence for up to 12 years.
Ooh. Fuck.
What did she get? And she just
got a suspended sentence for 10 years.
Fuck.
And she got fined. She had to pay all the money back, plus she then was fined $1,000.
Jeez, she got off lightly.
That's it, la. You know yourself.
can't be at that high.
Anything you find this week, stranger, startling, Shay?
I picked this story earlier thinking, this won't be out before Halloween, will it?
No, probably be out after Halloween.
Go with that anyway. So, this end-of-life nurse shares what people see before they die.
Ooh.
A hospice spooky nurse in America has revealed her experience working with palliative care, as well as detailing so many experiences in her final months alive. Los Angeles-based carer Julie McFadden took to TikTok last year to explain a common sign of death, visioning. According to the end of life, DeLuna visioning... Who the fuck's DeLuna? What a name. Visioning is when dying people believe that they are talking to their deceased loved ones. They can also think that they have come to them or that they are in the room with them. So she put up a clip on social media just explaining what happens and some of the things she's seen.
I thought I was going to a really dark place to put up a clip of someone dying.
Mum!
So the 40-year-old said that her patients didn't just start seeing their loved ones days before they die. It can happen up to a month before their death. So what? When they're lying on their deathbed.
What?
And that's how she basically knows someone's going to die.
Oh.
So we have no idea why this happens, Julie elaborated. We are not claiming that they're really seeing these people. We have no idea. But all I can say is that all I can tell you is that healthcare professionals who has worked in this line of work for a very long time, and it happens there all the time. Do you think that actually happens?
I don't know. I would say, you know, if people are in and out of consciousness and like highly sedated, not sedated, but like highly medicated and stuff, they maybe see things that, you know, you even hear about people waking up from surgery and like being delirious and having weird dreams or thinking they see people that they don't know and all this here. So I do think there is an element of it that could be true.
Could be truth.
Yeah.
Well, one doctor said that he had a patient that said he had a patient that told him his dog was at the end of the bed and told him his full story, full description and name, told him his wife's, made her smile. And a third said, a medium headed to the comment section wrote, "Spirit will tell us what the fuck." But anyway, he said that basically one of the patients he had, he seen the doctor's dead dog at the end of the bed, and it told him the names of all his family, and the doctor hadn't told him any of that before.
That's weird.
So that's freaky.
Why would the dog feel the need to do that then?
It's a bit weird that it was a dog, like. Yeah. I don't know.
Scooby-Doo. You know what I was actually watching the other day, and we were on the topic of like ghosts and stuff. I was watching like Ghost Adventures, because it went on, and because I think it's because it's Halloween or something. It was like the top 10 like scariest ghost adventure moments. You know the show where the three guys go around. They look they look kind of look
not
like
Derek
the script.
Or Cora.
They kind of look like the script a little bit. The band. There's like the main guy.
Is
he's like
American
dark
one?
Hair. Yeah. But like it's so weird because they go in all these buildings. Like they went in this place in Edinburgh. It was like this abandoned, like, you know, whatever, tunnel or whatever, and they locked them in and all. And then it was like, I feel like sometimes it's so weird to get into it because I'm really skeptical, but like, they're like, oh my God, something just touched my back. Something just, and you're like, did it though? And then it's like, at this moment, upon reviewing the footage, we see this orb shoot out of Darren's body. And it's like this, like, light, and you're like, that could be dust. I mean, it could be dust. Or whatever.
There's never
just
any
somebody
like,
standing there with a light.
Yeah. But then there was one where they like were on this like battlefield from like this old American battle, and they were like, how do we lure the ghosts in? So one of the guys dressed up as this like soldier went into the middle of the field and started shooting. And it was like trying to lure them in. I was like, if I was a ghost from
shooting.
Yeah, he went out with a musket and started letting off around.
All
like,
the ghosts getting PTSD.
I looked at Lucinda and I goes, bro, if that was me and I was in that war, the first thing I'd be doing, if I was a ghost lying out there, I'd be like, get to the trenches now, like, get away from this guy. Look at it. But then they have, like, the whole, do you know the thing that they have? It's like a little, like, looks like a freaking, like a Zoom mic recorder or something. They go around and it's like, it sounds like that. And then they're like, say Annie's the ghost or whatever of the hospital. And they're like, Annie, are you in here? And it's like, and then it stops, and they're like, the peers start freaking out, and then it's like, hello.
Like, or there's a faint noise, and they have to rewind it, play it in rewind, and it's like, oh, she's saying hello to me here. Yeah. That sounds nothing.
They have to put it through like 40 like filters to see what's happening in the deep background. Yeah. It's like a car goes past, and it kind of sounds like you're dead.
I don't think so, no. If you, what's your? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Do you believe in ghosts, Arn? Oh no.
Deep dive here. I don't believe in the typical. I do believe in the paranormal. I don't believe in the typical sort of connotations of what a ghost is.
What, like demons and stuff you believe in?
Who? Right. So I don't believe... He's thought about this. I don't believe a ghost is somebody who has died coming back to haunt somebody. Because I don't think once you're dead, whatever the afterlife is, I don't think you can come back to Earth.
Yeah.
I think it's something evil and demonic pretending to be someone you love to enter your space.
That's an interesting take.
It's a bit dark.
And there's more to that, but I'm not going to go into it.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Anyway.
Oh yeah, you know the most common time of the year today? The top 10 days of the year are between the 30th of December and the 9th of January.
Right.
And that's the top 9 days of the year today. Are between
like it's in the best time to die or it's no, just like the most number.
Popular
like all right okay
it's the most common it's
popular
yeah it's just a weird
I picked this
but
day.
That's what they were saying then that they think that people have like people sort of try and hold on you know one last Christmas you know you always hear people saying that like they feel that people are actually trying to hold on and they do manage to hold on to the new year
fair play
well, that's cool
here
the 6th of January is the most popular day today.
Oh, wow.
There's only one day. I think it's the 3rd of January is the day. The only day out of them that's not in there.
Welcome back to the Here's the Crack podcast. Where we talk about
25% more deaths on the 6th of January than there is on the daily average.
Crazy.
There you
like,
go.
That's a week after the new year.
So if you can make it past the 9th of December, people, you're sucking diesel. There you go.
It's all in your head, though.
It's all in your
you
head.
Can you can just push on. Like, just
keep living.
If you have the mindset, guys, you can live forever.
Positive mindset. Anyway, on that note, it's time to get into community crack.
Here we go.
So I went back and looked at some of the comments on like a couple of clips, viral clips. So the first one's the Andrew Ryan one where he's talking about the car insurance thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, is this the one where
you know when he was
the north and the south? But he's insured
if
for
like insured in like Northern Ireland, UK. They'll be like, he's like, I'm insured to drive in Dublin, and they'll be like, yeah. Then you're not insured to drive anywhere else.
Right. Okay. On the south of Ireland.
Basically, this guy commented, and he was like, I was in the pool on holidays trying to explain to English people I have to change my money to go into the next country, and they thought I was winding them up. Basically, like you know the way if you go over to England, you have to get like English notes, like
yeah.
I think that I thought that was funny, and then.
Oh, right enough. Why is that? You actually have good like British made notes. You can't use Northern Irish notes in England.
When I lived in Manchester, I would come home fairly often, and like my family would sometimes give me some cash, like a tenner here and there, stuff like that, for me coming back, and it was always like Ulster Bank notes, which I found funny because I don't know if
you're just spitting on it. They're like, what the fuck?
Well, not only that, but Ulster Bank notes are vertical now. You know, the new ones that are like vertical. Yeah. So actually haven't English seen people look
at Ulster Bank moving to vertical video, bro. Love it.
So like I remember distinctly being at the theatre in for the world premiere of Back to the Future in Manchester and handing them an Ulster Bank note, which is vertical.
Yeah.
And she looked at me as if I fucking just picked up a dead crow from outside and just went, there you go. That's what this I want for currency. My Coke. And I'm a bastard, like, and I argued with her, and I argued and argued and argued, and eventually she took it.
Yeah.
Because they can take it. It's not like it's not allowed. Yeah. It's just
not like it's not legal currency. Like.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's legal currency, although not legal tender. That's a different thing.
We got a lecture whenever we were on honeymoon in Greece. Mm. So we went to see this. We went to Lindos, and when you go up, you can see these like ruins. And as we were coming up, the girl was like, oh, entry. And we went, yeah, sure. And she was like, it's €24 each. And I went, okay. And she was like, have you got, are you, she said something like EU or whatever, where are you from or something. And me and Lucinda just immediately went, oh, we're from Ireland.
Yeah.
And she went, oh, great. I can do it for you for £6. And I went, okay. And she was like, do you have your passports? And we went, oh yeah. Or do you have ID? And me and Lucinda had our driver's license. And I went, oh yeah, I have mine. So I handed her, but it was a UK driving license. Yeah. And she was like, no, you're not part of Europe. And I went, what do you mean? And she was like, you're UK passport. You said you were from Ireland. And I was like, I am from Ireland. And she was like, where from? And I went, well, I'm from Northern Ireland. Yeah. And she went, Northern Ireland is part of the UK. And I went, oh! No, I was like, I think if you refer to the Here's the Crack comment section, you'll find otherwise. She proper was just like, and then she gave me a lecture on my own country. And I was like, okay. I literally just picked up the passport offer and she was like, I will do for £12. And I went, and then I was like, right, okay.
You should have been like, we have the choice to identify as British or Irish.
Yeah.
Give her a
lecture. Lucinda was like, I wonder if you'd have thrown an Irish passport her way. She probably would have just shut down. She'd have been like,
Yeah. So, and then this guy commented again, Americans get off the bus at Belfast train station with euros and people in London look at Sterling Bank of Ireland notes like pesos.
Yeah.
And then another guy commented going, same anomaly, hierarchy out of Dublin, people driving to Donegal think they're not entering Northern Ireland and will say not driving into Northern Ireland in error, not covered, question mark.
Mm.
Why, what are they saying, Donegal's in the north? Or
it is, yeah.
Donegal's not south. Donegal's south.
Is it not in Northern Ireland though?
No. Nope. It's in Ulster.
I don't know what he means then.
No,
it's in Ulster, but it's not.
No, I think what they probably mean is maybe you have to drive through north.
Yeah, you have to
part of the north to get to Donegal.
Oh yeah, maybe.
So do you know what I mean?
Silly Billy. And then this is one from the Just Stop Wild thing video on Instagram. This guy hit this big long comment. He goes, "This will get lost in the comments, but trust this, the Just Stop Wild thing." He's like, "They are being funded by not by the oil companies, backdoor funded through a billionaire paid for by the WEF in collaboration with the UK government. The plan is to get the entire population behind banning protests so that when the government overreach steps up a gear, the police will have to do as they're told to remove the opposition. Us, think about it, they're annoying everyone, snooker, flower shows, every road in the country. How many people do you know are angry as angry as these brainwashed commies? Nearly everyone. When the vote comes, better watch out. New world order's on the way.
Oh my word.
It's funded by the Glazers.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, it's Goldbridge. He knows that.
What, so what's he trying to say? Is it's a coup? The whole Just Stop Oil thing is a coup. So people...
What is the WEF, Aaron? Can you look it up there?
Was it WE for Echo?
Yeah.
He's basically saying he's getting them to protest so that...
The World Economic Forum.
Put a bad name on protesting.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I think it's basically saying like they're trying to put a bad name in protests, and so like when protests happen that the government don't want, they can basically be like, to the police, fucking bang bang, end this.
Right.
Enforce.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's always one like guy that thinks the government is behind it.
I think we already talked about this like last week, but
they've an ulterior motive, so there's something common that people would protest against that they need the police to
basically
be in a situation where they can use proper force to prevent it.
So if like this keeps getting out of hand, then the police will definitely eventually have to like step in and be like, we're gonna shoot you, like we're gonna have to use force if you don't stop, because like you see the protests, the police are like, we can't touch them. Do you know what I mean?
It's like security guards in shopping malls, they can't really do anything.
They're
just there for fancy. They're there for show.
Paul Blart, he fucking did something.
He did something. He did. Paul Blart, Paul Blart. Yeah, but that's the answer to all these protests. Hey, Paul Blart. I did read a comment, just going back to the one on the whole North and South thing. I read a comment from a girl, and it actually got me thinking. She was like, try living on the border and see how fun it gets.
I fucking
so do. When I look into it, no, her front yard is in the north and her backyard is in the south. So if she parks her car, if she insures her car in the north and parks it around her backyard and something happens, technically she wouldn't be insured.
Jesus Christ.
But imagine that, like
that's insane.
Imagine your backyard literally was like south, and you're like, like I would love to hear more from someone to see how that like impacts him, because like what happens with post
every morning she's like, I'm in the north.
I remember when I was younger,
I wake up in the morning in the Republic and I eat my breakfast in the north.
I remember hearing stories when I was younger about that, like some like during the troubles, like their people would have been living on the right on the border, like half their house was in the north, half was in the south. So like one day I took chase from the police in the north. So they just went to the house and went into their kitchen and they couldn't come near them. But like how exaggerated that is, I don't know. Maybe they got to the border.
Imagine the PSN coming to your door and be like, oh, do you want a cup of tea? Ah, you're out of your jurisdiction.
Was there like an RUC checkpoint in their hall?
There's a big wall going right through the middle of the house.
Barrier and all. You're now entering Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But the diesel station I go to in Katie, half it's on in the south, half it's in the north, so
what?
Four of the pumps are in the south and four of them are in the north.
No, get out.
Swear to God.
So how, like, can you then pay with either euro or pounds? Or if you use the four in the south, you have to pay with euro. Or if you use the four in the north, you have to pay with pounds.
No, you can pay whatever, like.
What's cheaper?
I think euro.
Okay.
I think that the pricing's in euro, so then they do.
Aaron's like, what peril session's this? He's going to start going there.
Drive.
Sorry, Ross. I'm away.
I'm away
to Armagh to get fuel here. One thing I thought was weird whenever the first time I ever went to your house in Katy was
don't fucking tar me with that brush.
You fucking get that shit.
Anyway, there was a specific, I don't know whether it was, I don't really know geographically where I was, but I went through a small village. I believe it to be Katy. And there was a petrol pump on the pavement.
Oh yeah, Rices.
Is that still functional?
Yeah,
that's been
there for years. Like,
why awkward to get that if you're going towards your house?
You you never see anyone go onto it. Like, it's on a bend too. Like, you know, like coming around the corner.
I sort of drove
pulling
past
out the fucking nightmare.
It's a con. Yeah. It is a con.
I was actually with you. We saw something similar on the way back from a shit with work, and we drove past a petrol pump, and it was in the middle of the road. No. It was where the white line was, and you could just drive along, stop in the middle of the road, fill up for a bit, go park and run in. It's really quite strange. We've never seen anything like it in my life.
See, they fill you up with that one, like, so you're not lingering about.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, imagine you pull in and you're like, oh shit, my cap's at the right hand side. You have to pull it out onto the road now.
Sure, I had no, the card machine wasn't working one day I went to it. And I was like, lad, I have to go here, like, your card machine's not working. Like, couldn't walk around, you know, like, leave the car there. So I just had to go and came back later on and paid him. Like.
Here we go.
Anyway, moving on, we'll get into some Am I the Asshole? Do you want to go first? Because you, or do you want me to go first?
I'll go.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
I'll go.
You go, girl.
I have one left over from last week that I wanted to chat to you about, but
I have two, but I don't know which one to do. Keep one for next week.
Keep one for next week as we surprise.
Right, wedding or sister-in-law? Pick one.
Sister-in-law.
All right. So, I hate the way the word is. It's like my, as in me, 28 female.
Yeah.
Sister-in-law, Amy, 26 female.
Right.
Always comes to visit us from out of town. She stays with us instead of a hotel and always wants to go to expensive restaurants.
Ooh.
She always conveniently forgets her wallet.
Ooh.
Or comes up with some excuses as to why she can't pay her share. She's implied that since I make so much more money than her, I should be the one to pay. No, not my husband should pay, but me specifically. I do make a fair amount of money, but not so much that I can treat someone every time they come into town. Nonetheless, in the past, I have just paid the bills and asked her to pay me back. She never has. Bitch. She had made a reservation at an extremely expensive restaurant last night. Before we left, I made it clear that
she
I wouldn't
made
be paying
the reservation.
Her. She made the reservation.
Oh.
I made it clear that I wouldn't be paying her bill. This is where I might be the asshole. And I'll admit, I got to this move straight from an episode of Two and a Half Men. As we were leaving, her and my husband went to the car. I pretended I forgot something and went back inside. I found her wallet sitting right on top of her suitcase. I put it in my purse and we went to the restaurant. When we were done eating, I asked for separate bills. She said no. We need one bill because she forgot her wallet again. I reached in my purse and said, this wallet.
Oh,
nice.
She was extremely furious. She said that I should not have touched or grabbed her wallet. So, am I the asshole for taking her wallet and bringing it to the restaurant?
Absolutely not.
Categorically not.
But it's not her property to take. I know it's in her
house. So, I believe in this scenario, the woman is not the asshole. But at the same time, she could have, like, I think before she left the house, she should have went, here, Amy, Mir here, your wallet's sitting there. I don't want any of this shit.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to the restaurant, this whole pat me down. Oh, I forgot my purse. There it is. I'm telling you, that's where it is. I'm asking to split the bill. If you haven't brought that thing, you're on your own.
it's the cheek of her actually booking the fucking restaurant too.
Like, nah, see, that's just...
I hated that.
Like, but you see, that's the point. You've set the principle there. You haven't nipped that in the bud, so therefore it's allowed to linger, and now she's taking the hand.
Do you think she's the blame then?
Who?
The sister.
I think the way she's went about it is probably not... Asshole? She's not the asshole. Not the but best. She needed to preemptively be the asshole.
With most Am I the Assholes, there was a breakdown in communication.
Yeah.
We say that about almost all of them.
She probably should have talked the wallet, but like give it to her when she got in the car, being like, oh, I ran on the house, I've seen your wallet land, thought I'd give it to you.
You forgot that.
Yeah.
Because then fires out the window.
And that there, she would have been like, oh, I didn't want to bring it. Why? Do you expect me to pay for everything?
Aye, at least you know it's addressed before the bill comes down fucking mail.
You need to... I feel like they're using the whole forgetting the wallet thing as the point. The point is not forgetting the wallet. The point is she just doesn't want to pay.
But why would you even go out for dinner with her then?
Exactly.
Do you know?
Yeah. Take her to KFC or something.
I feel like there is people like that, though. If you're hosting them, they feel like... Like, I think that is the thing. Like, if people are going to your house, or if you're going taking... Oh, but I suppose if you're taking someone out for dinner, like...
Yeah.
But you can't be booking it on the end, being like, oh, yeah, pay for that.
Yeah.
I will say she was not ruled and not the asshole.
And in these scenarios and times like these where it's so simple to literally just be like, will we go for dinner? Oh, here. Like, we went out for dinner on Saturday night. There was three couples.
Yeah.
It was literally like Bill came. I was like, bosh. Monzo. Literally as soon as it happened, Neil was like, so I'll split that with some Monzo. I went, yeah, that's grand.
Yeah. I reckon off like
I think both of us paid it at the table.
Literally, but like there's no excuse.
A wallet's not an excuse anymore, like in these days, like.
But especially
do you believe though, if someone is on a higher income, that should be an expectation?
No.
I don't know, like, I don't think it's
maybe with with your partner or something, like, but if you're going out with...
I think if you're making a good bit more, like,
why would you want to, like?
Well,
why would you want, like, if someone's like making, like, say that, like, you got a promotion in work or something, you're making a lot more money than your mate, them being like, I've got a big promotion here, I'll take everyone out, you know, I'll treat you all.
Yeah,
that's fair enough. But like, if you're going out as a mutual decision together, like,
yeah, it's not the rule. There's an exception to the rule, but it's not the rule.
I think with household income and couples is different. Like,
yeah,
like if you're making like 60k and your partner's making like half that, like,
yeah,
like you could pay more income, a bigger percentage.
But I think that's a different scenario, because obviously that way you kind of are like double income. Like, your income is technically, you know, it's all kind of shared.
Yeah,
it all goes towards the same thing. I think the scenario when you're out and there's like, oh well, here, he's earning 42k a year, I'm only on 28.
Yeah,
he should be no. I think it's like you're not earning money. You don't go for that promotion. You don't earn that higher amount to treat other people.
But you don't want to. You wouldn't want to be treated differently. Like.
No, definitely not.
The same person who does that will be like, "Oh, you're a big shot. You make your class." But then it's like, but then you don't want to pay for your drinks. Aye. Like, fuck.
But like, I know if us all went out and you were earning 65k a year, and me and him were earning 30, like, I know the one thing that me and you would probably say is, oh, here, you getting this, like, and laughing about it, but I know for now, if you we'd be like, oh, here, split that.
Me and you've went out with work before, and there's people in work that earn a decent whack more than us, and I'd feel seriously rare if one of the senior managers or the directors turned around and went, here, I'm going to pay for your meal per boy.
Yeah,
I'd be like, fuck.
I think it's a different scenario than that scenario where if you're in work and like someone really high up goes, here, I'm taking the team out, ask Grant. But like we have been in a scenario where like a senior manager or something's come over from like England or something, and you go out for pints or whatever. And like I have been in the scenario where it's like the third round, and he goes, no, I'll get, and I'm like, no, like, no offense, but no, like, I don't care what your income is. Like, you didn't offer to take us all out. We all said, let's go out and show you a bit of Belfast. But that doesn't mean you should be fronting for everybody, because, like, that's not, you know what I mean? It's not a respectful thing to do, just rip the piss out of someone. Because equally, you don't know, someone has a higher income, but they could have a higher, you know, outgoings. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, interesting conversation. I found this one. Instead of it's am I the asshole, it's would I be the asshole.
Okay.
So if this girl's listening,
thinking about it,
we've got the answers for you. So I, a female 33, agreed to go on a trip with a friend who is a 28 female. And her friend group of... like, so pointless to know this. But anyway, this girl agreed to go on a trip with her friend and her friend group. So basically, she's agreed to go on a trip with her mate and then her mate's mates, right? She doesn't really know anyone other than her friend. I wanted to go to save some money, so I booked a different, cheaper flight than them. Later that week, my friend announced that she is pregnant and she is not going on the trip. I was happy for her, but also a little bit stressed about having to travel with these strangers. I decided to be brave and tough it out when she assured me they are good people. Unfortunately, their flight got cancelled, so they booked another one, but 2 days earlier. We still depart at the same time. Now they want me to pay for those 2 extra days of accommodation that I won't be there. I said I'm not comfortable with that, but that I am willing to split the cost of the days that I'm there evenly amongst us. The trip is in 3 weeks and we are meeting tomorrow to discuss everything. But honestly, if they don't agree to my terms, I'm ready to cancel the trip and with them and travel on my own because I don't think I would feel comfortable. Would that make me an asshole?
I don't think so.
No.
I think that's cheeky of them to ask her to be there. Like,
that's stupid. Like.
For 2 days, she's not even there.
Yeah.
Especially the fact they don't know her.
Yeah. So this is the thing is like, I was reading it and I kind of thought, but surely you decide as a group, you've been the awkward one there and been like, I'm going like a couple of days later. But then when I kind of thought about it, I was like, do you know what? No, it's free. You know, you don't owe them anything. You don't know them. Do you know what I mean? And you're perfectly entitled to go, do you know what? I can't afford to go the 5 days, so I'll only go the three.
Mm-hmm. Am I right in saying that they, like she was going to be there for the full time originally, but then they extended the trip?
Yeah.
All right, so she was going to be there the full time, and then some people decided.
So they decided to book the trip 2 days earlier.
So the TLDR is... She's going on this trip. Some people then
rewind. What's a TLDR?
Too long, didn't read.
My God, this is why we pay him the big bucks.
massive money.
You're taking us
so
out for
basically
dinner,
there. Am I fuck? they were going on a holiday, say for a week, and then they've decided to extend that until 10 days, but then expecting her to pay for the days she's not there.
I believe so. Yeah, that's the way.
Well, that's insane.
Yeah.
So no, she's not the asshole.
Yeah. Fair play.
Their sort of view from it is that they had no choice because the flight was cancelled.
Yeah.
But still,
it's not her fault.
Like,
surely there was a flight that wasn't 2 days early. Like.
Even a day after, they'd probably be safer going. Yeah. Like, or like, sure, yeah.
That's cheeky of them. Like. Yeah. I don't think she'd be the asshole.
Crack on. You're not the asshole. Let fly.
That'd be an awkward one too, trying to tell them to fuck off if you don't know them. Like.
Exactly.
Like if it was your mates, at least you'd just go, nah, fuck that. Like. I'm not doing that. Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, moving on. Last segment of the day. Question time.
Here we go.
You have someone, you know someone from abroad who's coming to visit Northern Ireland for the first time. What would your number one recommendation be for them to do
during their
visit to Northern Ireland, and you cannot say fucking Giant's Causeway or Titanic, and if you do, I'll fucking take you around the back and shoot you in the head.
That's very Northern Ireland.
Very fucking
it's so hard to pick something that doesn't involve drinking.
I would personally say hire a car and do the coast.
That's Ireland though. Oh, the north
do
coast
part of the Wild Atlantic Way.
I'd take them in the Belfast and go to the pubs because I just think the live music and all.
Hard to beat that. Like,
do you know, I feel like it's hard to beat.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't really get that much places though. Even like you're by Andrew Rann, like saying that, like it's the best place he's been in the whole Ireland. Like, live music, the people. Do you know what I mean?
I feel though that it depends what type of person your friend is. If they're more a sightseer than if they're more a doer than a, you know what I mean? Because you just go into pubs and end up rat arsing.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I just think it's as good an experience. I just think like with the whole Wild Atlantic Wave, for me, it's like you're coming over and you're spending your whole time driving around, walking about.
I think it's so accessible. Like you could do like Glenarm, Cushendun, Cushendall, stop in at a pub.
Mm.
Like go see, you know, like Cushendun Caves, the Game of Thrones was shot, then you go on to Ballantoy. You know what I mean? You're actually like seeing and absorbing things. I would say like a massive thing you can't forget is Belfast. Like you can't turn around and even Derry.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like go to the Depends how long they have. How long do they have?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's fine. Unlimited time.
And so I'd fly into Belfast, do a day in Belfast, take them to the pubs, then the next day do the coast.
What about you merge the two together? You start in Belfast and then you do the Wild Atlantic
way
pub
to
crawl.
Derry.
And you start in Belfast, you go all the way around up to Derry and you stop off at pubs in every town in the way.
Yeah. That'll be a good one.
The black cab tours are meant to be good.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Take them around some of the troubles, like historical monuments and stuff like that. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And take them to the Holy Lands for a night. Just to experience that. Yeah. Just drop them off there.
So I think we got to a pretty good point there.
Yeah.
Can I evolve the question? Because it's just popping into my mind. You two are from the Armagh area.
Yeah.
Somebody's visiting Armagh. What are you doing in Armagh with them?
Leave.
Jesus. Bagel bean.
Bagel bean, definitely. Hey.
Like my uncle lives in San Francisco and he comes home like every year or so. And like he takes his wife home with him and... That's just you don't know where to go with them. Like there's like a restaurant. It's just outside Katie and Shields is like that's where you go for dinner. But like there's nothing to do in Katie to like
Navan Fort normal.
No, like where do you go? Like the planetarium,
the planetarium.
So you've got one day to spend in Armagh, anywhere in the county. Is it county?
There's
really
nothing in Armagh to do.
If they've never been, like you could do. Take them to like a Gaelic game at the Athletic Ground.
Maybe yeah, I suppose that would be good. Like.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Like, imagine it was an American coming over, they'd be going nuts for that.
Bagel bean, breakfast.
Bagel bean.
Go to a game. Go to your La Dolce and your.
Go back to bagel bean for lunch.
Go watch a game. Go to the pub. Red Neds is a nice pub, like, in Armagh. Mm. There is nice pubs, though.
Go to the Armagh Planetarium.
You can go to the Planetarium.
Yeah.
It's probably not a big deal though, but people be like, fucking planets, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's a good attraction.
It is pretty cool, yeah.
Is it Northern Ireland or Ireland that's the only planet around?
No idea.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's Northern Ireland. I think there's one in Meath or something like that.
The cathedral is a big thing. Like people fucking love it. Like.
I suppose historical things, really, that's around Armagh. I don't really know much about my history. Take them to prison, maybe. I think they're doing, I don't know what they're doing, visits in it anymore. Women's prison in Armagh.
Right.
Nice. They're not in it.
Active.
No.
All right, okay.
They used to do tours. I don't think they do them
they
anymore.
They just take you around to meet the inmates.
Yeah. I suppose it would probably be better if you had someone who was a bit of a history buff. Like.
The penalty kick was invented in Norway.
Take them out to fucking, where do you call that?
Was it Middleford?
Middleford, like.
Very
good. Just a housing estate, like.
It's so much history.
This is where it was created by.
I'm now going to pivot the question.
Oh.
Round to my Ballymena co-guy.
Oh,
co-guy.
So
co-guy.
We could maybe discuss, but the question is to you. Person's coming over in Ballymena and the surrounding Ballymena area, what you would consider the Ballymena area.
Mm-hmm.
One day, what are they doing? You should have known I was going to come to you for this question as well.
Take them into the tar centre.
Gotta go on, like.
Take them into Fair Hill and tell them to suss out the new parking. I would probably take them to the likes of like the wee country villages. Like you'd probably go to the likes of Brasheen, take them to the Thatch, climb Slemish.
What
I mean?
Slemish,
see Ballymena, come back down again, maybe go to a Ballymena United game or something.
Yeah.
Ballymena Korean, get them involved.
What about the Galgorm?
You take them to Galgorm. But it's not really like, I think like going to like Supersheen and going to like Thatch or something would be a nice wee authentic, like, you know.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Climb Slemish, come back down, go to the Ballymena game, play Korean, who we beat a couple of days ago.
Yeah, 3-1.
Is there not a or anything in Ballymena apart from yourself?
It's a shopping town mainly, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
he's missed that one though.
He's
not gonna be a lot of.
That goes. Is there any other sites in Ballymena apart from used to?
No, hey, you. Nice. Anyways, that's a good thing to end on. Anyway,
moral of the story is go to Armagh, Ballymena.
I don't go to either of them.
I just go to Belfast or something.
But anyway, listen, it's been a pleasure. If you had to bring a tourist over to your own area, what would you do? Where would you take them to? We'd love to know. But anyway. We'll end it there. Thanks for listening, and we will speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.